Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter tonight in chapter 3. If I'm not mistaken, we only have two more messages in 2 Peter after tonight, and then we'll dive into 1 John. So 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter now winding down his final epistle and telling us that the end of the world is coming. But in the midst of that, a reminder about God's long-suffering for this world. Notice beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So I've entitled the message, "Not Willing That Any Should Perish." Let's pray. But I do pray that you would use your word in our hearts this evening to grow us, to speak to us, to change us. We just thank you for this privilege to open your word on a Wednesday night. May we hear from you. And so we love you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Peter's reminding us that time doesn't mean anything to God. You know, time is such a big deal to us, isn't it? The passing of time, how long things take, how long we live, all these things. God sees things differently. To Him, time doesn't, as we see here, He says, to God, 1,000 years is like a day. That's hard for us to comprehend because 1,000 years to us seems like such a long time. But to God, it's nothing. Because God's always been and God always will be. And God knows the future as well. And so God sees time so differently. And maybe, I've heard people say this before, maybe time won't mean anything to us in our new bodies in the future. We just don't know. We know that we'll be with God 1,000 years here on earth in the kingdom, and then we'll be with Him forever. But, you know, the Bible teaches that God, you know, we read in Psalm 90, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." God's always been and God always will be. Time to Him means nothing, but... And David said in Psalm 90, verse 4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. To us, 1,000 years seems so long. Peter's telling us all of this to remind us that the reason Jesus hasn't come back yet, and it's so much more applicable 2,000 years later than it was when it was written, is because God is long-suffering. And that God wants as many people saved as possible. So that's what he says in verse 9. He's not slack concerning his promise to return, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering. So why has God waited 2,000 years? Because he's a long-suffering God. You know, the scoffer's perspective is, well, God hasn't come back because he's not going to come back. Because he's not going to keep his promise. Peter told us, 2,000 years ago, no, that's not the reason. It's because it's going to be in God's timing, and to God, 1,000 years doesn't mean anything, and God's long-suffering. God wants people saved. And if you go to Hebrews 10, verse 37, the writer of Hebrews makes an interesting statement about the return of the Lord. And from God's perspective, the time is short. It always has been. You say, oh, what about 2,000 years ago? Well, to God, that's like 2 days. So it's short. Hebrews 10:37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Just a little while. But what's a little while? It's a little while in God's program. In a little while, Jesus is coming back. Why hasn't he come back yet? Because God had us all planned out, and God wants people saved. That's the reason. And that is the meat of the message, is verse 9. which teaches us so much about the nature of God and about salvation. It says, He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word, all, that's an important word. Because that means that God's perfect will is that every single human being be saved. That's His perfect will. That's not what's going to happen, but that's His perfect will. But He leaves it up to us. He's given us a free will. But that is what He is willing. He's not willing that any should perish. And when Jesus died on the cross, of course, He died for all. God is a long-suffering God. And look at verse 15 of the same chapter. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Well, that's true for people that haven't gotten saved yet. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation for them. That He waited long enough for them to get saved. But this word all, that's the key. All. It teaches us so much. It teaches us, of course, Calvinism is completely wrong. Calvinism teaches that God predestined some to be saved and predestined some to go to hell. And we basically don't have a choice. No. This says God is willing that all should come to repentance, that everybody be saved. That's His perfect will. 1 Timothy 2:4, if you would. And we'll see it again, spoken a different way. 1 Timothy 2:4. Just so we can be sure, this all word means all. Notice 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? All men. God wants everybody saved. Jesus, when He died on the cross, the Bible says He died for the sins of every man. He died for the sins of the whole world. He died for everybody's sins. And He wants everybody saved. This beautiful gospel that we preach is a whosoever gospel. Amen? It starts in John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that what? Whosoever. Whosoever means anybody. Amen? Whosoever. Then Jesus in John 11:26 said, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Whosoever. That word shows up a lot in the Bible. John 12:46, I am come and light into the world that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. And most of us know Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Look at 1 John 5, if you would, in verse 1. And we'll see it again. And this is just a sampling of the whosoever's. But the whosoever ties in with the all. In other words, God's desire is that everyone be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. And then look at the very last chapter of the Bible. God's final plea to man in Revelation chapter 22 is found here in verse 17 of Revelation 22, right before the warnings about not messing with His word, and then the reminder that Jesus is coming back. Just before that, here verse 22:17, notice it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And look at this last phrase. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God's final plea to man, whosoever will, anybody can take the water of life freely. That's God's perfect will, that all be saved. Because He's coming back, and when He comes back, He's coming back to judge. And His will is that people not have to face that judgment. But God is a just God and a holy God, and He gave us a free will. It's up to us. Now, so go back to our passage, verse 10. The Bible says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Thieves come at night because people are asleep. They're not ready. They're not looking. God, when He returns, will catch many not ready, which means, as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. But it's going to come as a thief when He returns. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:4, and we'll see this again, that He will come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. And that ties in so well with this promise that God wants everybody saved. He's warning us. He's coming back. And He's going to come back as a thief. And when He comes back, He's going to come back and judge. So the time is short, like we sang in that hymn this evening. Work, for the night is coming. For the night cometh when no man can work, Jesus said. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Thought I was reading it wrong. It's there. That's what it says. That day should overtake you as a thief. We have light. The light of the world has given us light. We don't live in darkness. But the world, they're not ready. And they need to hear. Because the Bible says that God, as it says in verse 10, is going to burn up the heavens and the earth. I don't believe He's including His own heaven there, the third heaven. But He's going to redo it. It's all going to burn up. That's what He says there. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It all gets burnt up. And that's a reminder for us as believers to not get sidetracked and focused on things that are going to burn up. This is going to burn up. And we're going to spend forever with the Lord, but we're not taking anything with us. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out. We leave the way we came with nothing except our salvation. Amen. So in Colossians 3, if you want to turn there, the Bible emphasizes this great truth that if it's all going to burn up, and it is, what should be our attitude towards the things of the world? Our attitude should be that shouldn't be our focus. Notice Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We're to be setting our affection on things that are going to last. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Everything down here, it's going to corrupt, it's going to decay, and it's eventually going to get burnt up. Everything in heaven lasts. It never corrupts, and it can never be stolen. So our focus needs to be on things that are going to survive that fire. Well, you've heard me say this before. What's going to survive the fire? The Word of God and people's souls. That's it. Everything else we can see and touch and feel is going to burn up. So I guess our focus needs to be on the things that are going to last, the Word of God and souls. That's why He left us here, to focus on those things. Focus on His Word and focus on telling people the good news that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, and that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is a great statement about the love of God there, isn't it? You know, that He died for everyone and rose again for everyone, but that it's His desire for everyone to be saved. And you read stories like the Ethiopian eunuch. Here you've got one man out in the middle of the desert, but he was seeking, wasn't he? He had the word, some of the Bible, and he was reading, and he was seeking, but he didn't know where to find the truth. And God spoke to one man and said, I need you to go into the desert. Why? Why wouldn't you send me into a city where there's a lot of people? I want you to go to talk to one man. And that one man that was seeking, God sent one man to him, and he shared the gospel with him, and he got saved, and he baptized him, and then he went on his way. But he was seeking. And I believe there's a lot of people out there that are seeking. They need us to tell them. Jesus is coming back. It's all going to get burnt up. But he died for your sins and he rose again and he offers you eternal life. God is not willing that you perish. God is willing that you be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So our part in that is to tell them. So they can repent. So praise God for his attitude toward this world and toward the lost. And that we are one of the ones that found him. Amen. We can never thank him enough for that. God is not willing that any should perish.